this for you, God. We thank you for it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Over in Psalms chapter 42 is where we're going to look this morning. And that's a Psalms that deals about having an intense longing for God. You get into the presence of God and experience what we're experiencing here this morning. There's just something that stirs in the heart and in the soul. And you just want more of what God is giving. And God has a way of ministering to us and strengthening us and helping us and giving us food for that journey. And so this psalm is one that is looked at many times. People like to grab the first verse, but they don't realize that when David wrote this psalm, what was going on in his life? He was at a low time in his life. He was at a hard time in his life. He was at a time where he was really being oppressed by the enemy from without and from within. And when he was in dire straits like that, what is it that he said? And we go to Psalms 42, and we're going to look through this psalm this morning. In that very first verse, when David was at a low time in his life, and when you're at a low time in your life, you need to be like the psalmist was. And he says, as the hart, or as the deer panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. Amen. That's the way that it needs to be. But unfortunately, many times what happens to us as believers, when we're going through a hard time, when we're being oppressed from without and within, we don't go hard after God. Amen. Many times people at those times in their life, they turn away from God. They begin to point a finger at God and blame God for what is going on in their life. And God, can't you let there be more control in my life than what there is? Because things seem to be out of control. But the psalmist David, when he was in a situation like that, he wanted more of God in his life because he realized that he needed more of God in his life at the time that the situation that he was going through. Amen. And so how do you handle those situations in your life? Life just isn't all good and wonderful, blissful, and it's just a wonderful experience all the time. There's difficult times that come to us. Amen. But the last thing we want to do, we don't ever want to do it. We don't even want it to be the last thing on our list. But be very careful that you don't turn against the very one that can help you. Be very careful that you don't blame the very one that can help you for the situation that you're going through. Amen. You need to realize, like the psalmist did, he realized, I need more of God in my life. Because of these things that he was going through, it created a thirst within him that he wanted more of God. No, it didn't do with the problems and the situations that he was facing. They were still there, but he was getting more of God in his life. Amen. And that's what we need to do. And so what to do when we're oppressed is what we're talking about this morning. Amen. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of God will raise up a standard against him. It's not easy to go through situations like that. Many times we just have a tendency to give up and, well, it is what it is and I'll get through this somehow. But it needs to make us run for the water. As the deer pants for the water brook, that we pant for the Spirit of God in our life. And when is it that the deer or the hart pants for the water brook? When that deer or that hart is panting for the water brook, it's because he has been chased. He has been pursued. He has spent a lot of energy, and he needs more energy. He needs more strength. And so then he begins to look for a water source. We need to do the same things in our life. When we're oppressed and the enemy comes in like a flood against us, and it seems like it's sapping all the strength out of us, and we're almost at the verge of throwing our hands up and saying we quit. Instead of doing like that, we need to run to the well that never runs dry. Amen. We need to go to Jesus and say, I need a drink from that well that never runs dry. I need strength down in my heart and in my soul for this situation that I'm facing. Because without you, Lord, I'm not going to be able to make it. That's what we need to learn to do. So in Psalms 42, David was asking God, in the midst of all of what was going on in his life, there was a sadness in his heart. And he was asking God, why his heart was so sad and why he must go through times of oppression from his enemies. Have you ever faced that in your life? We've lived life long enough. You have times where everything's up on the mountaintop and it's good. And then you have times where there's an oppression. There's things that come against us, things that we would rather not face. And so David was going through one of those times, and he was asking God, why is my heart so sad? Why am I so downtrodden within? Why do I have to go through these times of oppressions from my enemies? And we can ask the same thing to God. We don't understand it, but when oppression comes against us, it's not a fun thing. It's not something that any of us like to face. But we can ask God, God, my heart within me, it's beginning to feel sad. I'm so oppressed. But Lord, what I need is more of you. Nowhere in Scripture are we instructed to ever understand why we are going through the things that we are going through. And I'll say that to all of you here this morning. Some of you are facing some difficult situations in your life as I speak to you this morning. But nowhere in Scripture are you instructed to ask God, why am I going through this? We're human. We have that tendency. We want to know. We want to understand. But nowhere in Scripture are we instructed to that we have to understand why I'm going through this. And a lot of people get stuck on that right there. They get stuck on the why am I going through this? I don't understand it. And then they dig themselves a deep ditch and they live in that for a while. But what are we instructed to do? God simply asks us to obey and to glorify him in difficult times, to continue to obey and glorify him in difficult times. I know we speak about it often, but it's the stories that are recorded in the Bible. When Paul and Silas went through the torture that they went through, or were in prison, they were in stocks and bonds, they were whipped, they were beat. And nowhere is it recorded in Scripture that they begin to ask God, Lord, why are we going through this? We don't understand this. What did they do? They continued to obey God and to glorify him in the difficult time that they were going through. Amen. Sometimes that'll be the secret to you getting the victory that you need in that difficult time that you're going through in your life. And what is that? To obey God and to glorify him. Amen. And so every situation that you face in life, the good ones and the bad ones, we need to look at that as an opportunity to serve him. It's an opportunity for God to show himself real in my life. I don't like the circumstances and situation that I'm facing right now, but Lord, this is an opportunity for you to reveal your power and your might in this situation. And we need to look at it that way and don't get stuck on, but why is this happening? I don't understand why this is happening. That's where the enemy of your soul wants you to dwell. He wants you to camp out right there on that why. You'll never get an answer as to the why. Amen. Why does it have to be this way? Amen. But you need to look at it as an opportunity for God to reveal himself. Amen. For God to bring a deliverance in only the way that he can do. Amen. We as a people, we hunger and we thirst and we thirst. Your body knows when it's time to refuel. It sends signals out. If you're thirsty, your body lets you know you're thirsty. If you're hungry, your body lets you know that. And the reason it does is because your body needs to be refilled. Amen. So the signals are sent out to eat and to drink. And because you eat and drink, you can continue living. I work in a nursing home. I work with people that are elderly people. They're old people. But guess what? They still get thirsty and they still get hungry. Because if that body of theirs is going to keep on living, it has to eat and it has to drink. The body, our natural body, is always seeking a source of power. Especially when them boys get into them teenage years. Boy, does it seek a source of power. Oh my goodness, they can eat you out of house and home. Kyle, Sister Brooke, you don't know what you're in for with that young man you got there. Oh, you better get ready. You better start a savings account so you're going to be able to afford to feed him when he gets in that bracket. But it happens. It's human. The body is always seeking for a source of power. Now, here, I want you to understand this. God has put within each person a longing for him. There's a longing in each one of us that are here today for God, for more of God in our lives. And so what's the issue? Not everyone realizes this. that there's that longing that they have in their heart. They don't realize that it's for God. Amen. They don't know where it comes from. Amen. And they don't know how to fill that longing that they feel down in their heart and in their soul. But it's God that put it there. And David recognized it. And he says, like the deer pants after the water brook, Lord, my soul pants after you. There's a longing in every one of our hearts and souls that God put there, and he is the only one that can fill it. You can do everything else. You can get the best paying job. You can live in the most beautiful house. You can do every line of entertainment that you like, go to every amusement that there is, buy anything that you want to buy, and it's not going to satisfy that deep longing that's down in your heart and in your soul. It's going to continue to be there. God has put that there. Everybody has that within them, saint and sinner alike. We direct it towards God. Those that don't know God, they direct it into everything else, and they always come up empty-handed. They always come up lacking. Only if I could have this, I'd be happy, and they get that, and they're not happy. If I could have this, and they get that, and they're not happy, because it's a longing that's put in there from God, and only God knows how it feels. And I love this, because God's the creator of man. And you know how God wired man? He wired man to want and to need him. But people don't realize that. You're wired to want God in your life. You're wired to need God in your life. And the sooner you recognize that in life, the better your life can go. And so in this psalm that we're looking at this morning, David realized his need for God, and he spoke it out, and he penned it in some words. He speaks for his need of God over and over throughout this psalm that we're looking at this morning. We're going to look at it in its entirety. It's only 11 verses long. Amen. That longing, your computer, your cell phone, I like to use mine as an example. I'm so attached to that thing, but I forgot it at home this morning. The other day I forgot it when I come to church, but that's okay. Your cell phone, or your laptop computer was not going to run off of that battery forever. I used my phone so much yesterday. Last night I was on here doing some things. A little signal come up and says, battery power down to 15%. You better plug this thing in. You're going to lose your power. Anybody ever been on their laptop or phone and all of a sudden the screen goes real dim and you're like, what's going on? Oh, you got 5% left. Okay? The cell phone, the laptop computer, there's other things that are battery operated. They can't run on that battery forever. It has to be plugged back into a power source to be recharged. We are the same way. We can't run forever without being recharged by the Spirit of God in our lives. And that's what God is and was here this morning. He was recharging us. We were in a recharging station of the Holy Ghost, of the Holy Spirit, however you want to say it, and he was trying to charge us up this morning. Amen. But what do? We go along. We actually run out of that spiritual power and strength from God that we need in our lives. Amen. And we try to make it on our own power, on our own strength, our own ability. We get real holy and we say, we make quotes like this, God only helps those who help themselves, and I can get myself out of this mess. I can get myself out of this situation. We try to act in our own power. Why? Because nobody likes to feel that there's anything in their life that's out of their control. Nobody likes to feel that. Nobody sitting here today like would want to say, there's a situation in my life right now that I can't control. But yet sometimes there are things in your life that happen that you can't control. So we go about with all of our power, all of our ability, trying to gain control of situations in our life. And it's only God that can help us. Amen. And then we continue down that downward spiral. We try to control things by our own power. We make choices. We make decisions with no regard to what God would want. It just seems like this is what we ought to do, and we go in directions that God wouldn't want us to go in. We can only do so much in our own power. Yeah, there's a sense of truth to that. God helps those who help themselves, but you can only do so much in your own power, and you run out of fuel, and you come to the point, some of us have been there, some might be there now, I can't take it anymore. I can't go on another day like this, in this problem, in this situation. It's going to be the end. happened to me. Something has to change. There has to be a change that happens in my life. David knew that he had come to that point in his life. And what did he do? In Psalms 42, when he come to that point of helplessness in his life, he put his full trust in God. Amen. He put his full trust in God. If you listen to people, they're confusing. They're in misery. They're messed up. You get look to people to help you. They can't help you. Amen. We need to learn to put our full trust in God. We must recognize the power of God that is seen here in Psalms 42. So what was the first thing? David hit rock bottom. His battery was empty. His soul was distressed within him. We're going to read this morning. He had an empty battery. And so this psalm that we're going to look at this morning can help us. It can encourage us to remember in any type of situation that God is there. God is there to help you. And so let's look at the first three verses here this morning. The first three verses here this morning. We're going to read those. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? The enemy around you will look and say, you're serving God. Why are you in the situation that you're in? Where's your God at? Why doesn't your God deliver you and help you? We need to ask ourselves, are we longing for God as this psalm says? If we're not longing for God as the deer pants after the water brook, what are you longing for instead of God? Because that longing's there. What are you looking to? If you're not looking to God for help, what are you looking to? Amen. Do we really believe that God's the only source of life and true freedom? We say that, but do you really believe it? He's the only source of life and true freedom. It's in God and God alone. Yet we look and we go in many other directions, seeking satisfaction. But the psalmist says, like the deer thirsts for water, my soul thirsts for you, God. The second verse, my soul thirsteth for God, for that living God. When shall I come and appear before God? And then he went on. He was in a sad situation. My tears have been my meat. My tears have been my food day and night. Will they continually say unto me, where is thy God? Have you ever been in such a pitiful situation that people look at you and feel sorry for you? They're like, man, I'm glad I'm not them. I wouldn't want to be in that situation. Well, if you're the one that's in that situation, tears might be your food day and night, and you're wondering, where is God? And then we go down into the next verses, and David goes into a thing here in verse 4, and David begins to remember how it used to be. God, I'm in this situation now. I don't like being here. I remember how it used to be. Life was so good. That song that we had our brothers sing, there was a verse to that. Amen. Life is good. And then when those bad things happen, you're down in the valley, but God's the God of the mountain, and he's the God of the valley. He doesn't leave you in those sad places. But David remembered the good times. He said, when I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with a voice of joy and praise, and with a multitude that kept holy day. He remembered those times of going into that place of worship, and he poured out his soul within him. I pour out my soul in me. I went with a multitude. I went with them to the house of God with a voice of joy, with a voice of praise and gladness. But at the situation that he was facing right now, there was no joy there. There was no praise. There was no gladness. There was a great need. There was a great want. He was being pressured from outside and probably from within himself. As he penned these words here, you can see there was a struggle going on within. So David remembered how it used to be when he worshipped in the temple. He remembered he had seen previously God's faithfulness in his life, and he had felt the joy of his presence in his life other times, but now he wasn't feeling so much. And so what was David doing here? He was going to God because he knew that God wouldn't fail him. God, I remember in the past how you took care of me. I remember this situation I was in and you took care of me. It looked like there was no hope. It looked like it was my end. But I got through that and it was accredited to you. You can remember those times in your life, and that's what David was doing. He was going back to God because he knew God wouldn't fail him, that man would. And in verses 5 through 8, amen, verses 5 through 8, there are times in your life, if you haven't already been there, you will be there, that you do not understand what is happening in your life and why it is happening. You're perplexed. Why is this going on in my life? What did I do to deserve this? Where do I go from here? We can feel pity party for ourselves. We can get stuck, as I said previously, we can get stuck on the why am I here? Amen. But there are times in your life where you are not going to understand why it is happening the way it is happening. And David wrote this here, and he wrote it right out to God, and he was in that situation. He didn't understand. Verse 5, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan, and the Hermonites from the hill Mizar. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy water spouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. So at times we don't understand what God is doing or what his reasoning is behind what is going on in your life. God, if I could only understand. Lord, we know this. We get spiritual. All things work together for the good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose. Oh, we all like that. But when you're the one going through it, you want an answer. You want to understand. And David was the same way. Amen. And he gave his reasoning behind it. Human nature, amen, is to be feeling. Amen, is the feelings that we have. Amen. Human nature, amen, is feeling the things that we're feeling down inside. You feel what you feel this morning for what you're going through. If you feel sad, if you feel downcast, if you feel like you're wondering where God is, if you feel like you're all alone, that's real. That's natural. That's human nature. Amen. But you have to be careful because your heart can mislead you. Your heart can mislead you. The devil wants us to think, as those words that he put in the mouth of Jesus. I'll say it that way. That's probably not correct to say it quite that way. But at a point in his life, Jesus even said, Jesus felt so alone. He even said these words, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And that was Jesus, the Son of God. He was asking God, why have you forsaken me? Why is this going on in my life? But there was a purpose for what was going on in his life. But it, human nature, amen, it can mislead you. David was asking himself here, and he was saying, why is my heart so sad? Why am I so sad? On the other side, I have so much to be grateful for. We looked at that in verse 4. He had so much to be grateful for. Now he's questioning, but why am I so sad? And why is this oppression coming in from my enemies? They were out to take his physical life. I don't have anybody, I don't believe I have anybody that's a threat to me to take my life from me and to kill me. Amen. But we have people that come against us in many ways and fight against us. That's an oppression that comes against. And David was wondering, why is my heart so sad? And I said this at the beginning, but nowhere in the scripture are we ever asked to understand why. Why? You probably won't get an answer for the why. And not to be a cop-out, this is a saying that's used a lot in the world that we're living, but it is what it is. It is what it is. And in those situations, instead of asking God and doubting him, amen, we are just to obey him and we are to glorify him. That should be our attitude as believers. I'm going to obey God. I'm going to trust and obey. Amen. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus is to trust and obey. David didn't understand, but he chose to hope suspend God in the situation that you're facing today. There's a good chance that you don't understand it, but we are instructed by Scripture as David did, but we are to hope in God. God, my hope is in you. I'd rather hope in God than trust my feelings. My feelings are going to tell me there's no hope. You can't take this anymore. You might as well do this. You might as well do that. Be careful with those thoughts that come to your mind when you're feeling hopeless and helpless. Amen. But he felt that way. We can't trust our feelings. He chose to hope in God over trusting in his feelings. We have to hold fast to the truth over our emotions because we are emotional beings. And it's easy just to follow our emotions and it just seems right. And that's the way it's leading me. We have to hold fast to the truth of God's word. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Amen. It's Paul and Silas, and there's other examples in Scripture. People going through hard times, they held fast to God. They held fast to him. Verses 9 through 11. In this world, as Christians, we are going to experience oppression. It's going to come in some form. Oppression. I don't have the oppression that David did. I don't have enemies coming against me with spears and swords. And now we'll bring it up to the analogy that we can understand today. I don't have somebody out there, you know, with an AK-47. Is that what an AR-15, I guess, is what it is. Amen. Those kind. You know, I don't have somebody seeking my life that way. I don't have somebody ready to stick a knife in my back. But oppression still comes against me in different forms. Oppression still comes against you today in different forms. It might not be somebody that wants to take your physical life, but the enemy comes against us and he tries to oppress us. And so let's read 9 through 11 and see what David did. And we're thinking about the oppression that he had. I will say unto God, my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? God, why have you forgotten me? Look at this mess. Look at this situation that I'm in. I don't even feel you. You feel a million miles away from me. When I pray, it doesn't even seem like the prayers is the expression. They hit the ceiling. They come back. I don't feel a movement of your spirit. God, why did you forsake me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? I'm mourning. I'm in mourning. I'm in hurting. I'm hurting down inside. Why do I do that? And he said, as with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me. Well, they say daily unto me, where is thy God? You serve this God. And the world looks at it like we sacrifice so much to serve God. We give up so much that we're not enjoying life. And that's how they like to look at it. And when hard times come to a believer, the world is watching. They're watching you to see how you're going to handle it. But David was saying, the people say, where is thy God? And then he starts talking to himself. Amen. You can do this to yourself today. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why are you cast down? Why are you in such an oppression? Be careful, because oppression can lead to depression and you don't want to get there. That's a dead end road. That's a deep rut. That's a deep hole to put yourself in. We don't go there. We can ask, why am I cast down? Why am I feeling so sad? Why art thou disquieted within me? And then he says, hope thou in God. I'm going to hope in God. And in a moment, we're going to sing that chorus. All my hope is in Jesus. All my yesterday's gone. Amen. Sister Bonnie will play that for us. Amen. But why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Then he has the answer. Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. He is my salvation. I will praise him. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Amen. O my soul, why art thou cast down? David was being harassed by his enemies who didn't believe like David did. You might be being harassed by people who don't believe like you do. They don't give God the credit. They don't give God a chance. They're going to say, you better go seek some counseling. You better do something. Maybe you need to go see a psychiatrist. You're a little woohoo. You're a little off in the way that you're believing. And David was being harassed by his enemies. Don't allow people's opinions of you to hold you back from God's purpose in your life. It doesn't matter what I think about you. It matters what God thinks about you. Amen. Don't let people's opinions of you hold hold you back from your God's purpose in your life. God has something he wants every one of you to do. But then people will say things, and the opinion is you're not ready for it. And who do you think you are? You're just trying to make a name for yourself. And they come up with all kinds of things. Don't let people's opinions hold you back from God's purpose in your life. I'm going to say it again. Don't let people's opinions of you hold you back from God's purposes in your life. God has a blessing. God has a miracle waiting on you, is another song that we sing. It's okay if people don't understand you. Don't try to be a people pleaser. I want to please God. I want to please God. And so the deer, when does he pan after the water brook? When he becomes exhausted, when he becomes worn out from being chased, when he feels like, I just would rather lay down and die. Instead of laying down and dying, he goes back to the water brook. And in essence, that's what David was saying. I'm to the point, I'm ready to lay down and die. But no, I'm going to go back to the water brook. And this writing started that way. As the deer pants after the water brook, God, my soul pants after you. He was realizing that I want more of God in my life. I need more of Jesus in my life. Amen. Sister Bonnie can come down to the piano. Amen. Here this morning, let's stand to our feet. And anybody, amen, that needs prayer this morning, you're facing a situation. You don't have to tell me what it is, because I can't help you, but God can help you. Situations that you're facing, and you might even be wondering, where's God? This thing that's oppressing me, it's coming against me so hard. It's going to be the end of me. I just can't take it. I need to see a resolution to this situation and this problem. Amen. Come down this morning. We will agree in prayer with you. Amen. That those chains can be broken, that bondage can be broken.